In series on growth, are you growing? Are we growing? See, if we're going to grow to be the church, then the individual parts need to be growing, right? One branch can't be doing it all. It's everybody, it's all of us growing. And the last series we went through, right, we recognize we need God's Word. If we're going to grow in Christ, that's how He's revealed the truth about Himself and about us. We need to be engaging in prayer. We go through the hand, talking to Him, hearing from Him. Tall one was obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Sorry for that. Try not to sing in public. But obedience is hard, isn't it? But it's an oxymoron if we say, you're the Lord, you're the one I follow, and then not follow. He says, I know what's best for you. Come along with me. Come and I'll show you, and we learn how to follow. We do it together. Fellowship, right? The ring finger. And then we wanted to expand on the sharing piece of it. How do we make God known? How do we invite others into relationship with Him so they can walk in the freedom and forgiveness and new life that He offers? Well, it might surprise us that the topic this morning, under sharing, is that we share God's love by listening. Listening to understand, like the video was during the offertory time introduced. We share the love of Christ when we listen to understand, when we really engage with people and hear what's on their hearts. We share Christ's love. Do we really hear the people around us? Or do we operate at another level? It takes effort to really hear someone, doesn't it? It takes work. We find it coming out in our lives. I mean, there's the Christmas song, do you hear what I hear? Are we really on the same page, right? Somebody says it, another one interprets it, and they both walk away thinking they're really clear on what just happened, right? Do you hear what I hear? Nope, I've got my own message, thanks. Right? But they didn't know they had their own messages, right? Miscommunication happens regularly and frequently, doesn't it? And whose fault is it, the sender or the receiver, when miscommunication happens? Most often both, right? If there's a lack of clarity, but either one can walk away thinking that was perfectly clear and have no idea unless it's worked through. It's some whatever said is different than what's been received. Miscommunication, and my wife usually says miscommunication should get married. And she'd be Mrs. something else and get out of there, right? Creates too much havoc. You know, it can lead to a lot of confusion, frustration, and even pain if you look at the next slide. I don't know if you can see that. That is why we lift on three. The poor guy on the floor. But pain comes in many flavors and varieties, doesn't it? Physical pain, getting dropped on the floor by the medical team, thanks very much. But there's emotional pain. There's all sorts of stuff that miscommunication creates pain in our lives and a lot of work and all sorts of things, right? The distortion. Sometimes it's not just miscommunication. Sometimes there's a difference of perspective. As we look at the next slide, depending from what angle you're looking at something, and you can fight about it all day long, or you can recognize, hey, we just got a different perspective of the same thing. And it can get even worse. It can get more confusing than this if we look at the next slide, because sometimes our perspective really is fairly accurate from the perspective that we have. It's not necessarily wrong, it's just different, right? A lot of cross-cultural ministry is like this, right? We used to joke around in missions. They don't just do it different, they do it wrong. No, it's not just wrong, or it's not wrong, it's just different, the way people think, right? We could send a building crew down to Ecuador to build some houses, and we can build them like we do in here in North America. Or we can go down there and go, wait, there's a different perspective here, and actually, the way they build them there, for their climate, is much smarter than trying to build them the way we build them here. So it's different, and we need to be able to hear differences, especially when there's more complex issues going on. This is key in our day. How many things come through on the internet or news feeds or wherever else, and people think, well, I've got this solved. But it's much more complex than that, right? Right? There's a judge puts down a judgment in a criminal case, and all sorts of people think they've got way more wisdom than the judge who was there for the whole trial, and we can just figure it out in minutes. Our arrogance is bewildering at times. It's awesome almost in a negative sense. But there's confusing things going on, and sometimes they do take work to get through it, right? And we don't just fix it with a quick fix. Some miscommunication can be pretty funny if we look at the next slide. Some of you might have to think about that, and you'll break out laughing during lunch. It can also lead to great uncertainty. We're not sure how to respond sometimes to the next slide. What do you do with this? You can take that in more than one way. I was just obeying. I did what you asked me to. Joanna's cringing at what she might find this week around the church. And it can lead to incredible frustration and relational breakup. Relational breakdown. If we look at the next slide. Do you even hear the words I say? The ones I like. Right? We all have selective hearing. We all hear through our own lens at times. And we hear often what we want to hear, not necessarily what it was actually being said. One of the biggest communication problems is we listen to understand, not to understand, but we listen to reply, right? Kids are great at this. My dad can do this. I'm not even done hearing that story. My dad can do this. We get competitive right off the bat. We're quick to agree or disagree, sometimes almost before they've had a word out, right? Just by the look of the person, we can figure out think we can, whether we're going to agree or disagree, rather than the goal to understand and recognize this is sharing the love of God, learning to listen and value, just hear a person before we respond. And sometimes we're almost speaking a different language because we have such different perspectives, as the next slide shows. Very different frame of reference. No one's trying to be mean or malicious at times, but it's just noise. I'm not getting it. We have a different frame of reference. And sometimes, I mentioned cross-cultural, but sometimes it's not only in cross-cultural ministry where we try and compensate in a really unhelpful way, like the next slide shows. I don't know if that one's too small for you guys to read. Tourist is there down in a Latin American country. I'm looking for clocks. Clocks! Do you have clocks? It says down the bottom. It's a good thing Chuck raised his voice because Pedro understood loud English. But it can happen in lots of conversations, right? We think, ooh, increase the volume. I'm not being understood. I'll just crank the volume because that'll help, right? Way to go. Yeah, it doesn't really, right? It's not that helpful. And at times, it's like two people separated just making a bunch of noise. Blah, 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 blah. It's tragic. Nobody is moving towards one another. No one is actually listening. It just degenerates into, well, you're over there and I'm over here. And it doesn't do any good. Consider this short video clip of the way we often communicate. That this one was really appropriate for how we communicate when we're behind a shield like the internet, right? People are so in your face on the internet. But somehow it's different when we're actually in relationship. We realize maybe we don't have that much to say. We're just barking at each other. And we realize, oh, when there's nothing dividing us, it's not that important, or not as important as we thought it was. There's several things about listening. One of them I'm not going to cover a whole bunch today on this next slide. But for believers, do we ever ask, what is God saying? What is God desiring for the person in front of us? Whether it's our spouse, our child, co-worker, fellow student, what is God desiring for this person, this situation, for His kingdom? What is He up to in their lives? Do we have one ear tuned in to the Holy Spirit? Because we are believers, we can have a bigger, broader, even God-oriented, God-inspired, and God-given perspective. Can we have that? Have a bigger, broader, God-oriented, God-inspired, and God-given perspective? Might He be up to something in someone's life that we don't see or hear yet? And maybe we just need to take some more time and listen. I think often that's the case. Often, not just sometimes. Do we listen to the Holy Spirit on behalf of another? What are you up to, God? How can I be a part of that? If we're talking about sharing, then all of this hand of growth is aligning with what God is up to and how I can be a participant in that. Having one God, one ear attuned to the Holy Spirit and asking that question. Now, I don't mean stopping the conversation. Whoa, wait, Bill, just a minute. God, help me to listen to this guy. I really struggle to hear him well. It's just the way he says. Don't do that. But we can pray, right, to God while we're listening to someone. God, are you up to something bigger? We can ask these questions, not in a distracting way, but in a way that helps us really hear what's going on in their lives, and even bigger than what they might yet understand. And have the other ear really attuned to them, not to what's only going on in us, but what is really being said. Hear their thoughts, yes. We usually focus on this when we listen, but also their emotions and the impact. How's their week impacted them? Not just what the information was. And ask clarifying questions. And then putting both of these together, listening to understand, one to the Holy Spirit, one to the person, to help us understand, or the listener understand, yes. But it often helps them understand their clarifying, right? They're going on a journey together. Ooh, building relationship. Almost sounds like loving one another, right? Loving by listening to understand. We usually respond way too soon. Way too soon. We need to even ask, as we love by listening to understand, assess whether a response is even helpful yet, and share love, not information, possibly. It's a first step towards sharing Christ. And we'll look at Luke 24. We're going to be in Luke 24 for 3 weeks in a row here. Just the first part of it here. Middle part of it. So it's post-resurrection. Jesus is raised. Listen to these passages, these portions of Scripture here. And does it help us listen differently? What is the Master up to? As he's been resurrected, it starts to tell this story. That very day, two of them, and we got to look earlier, this is a couple of disciples of Jesus who are traveling around with him, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things. Again, look earlier in the book of Luke, and it'll be unpacked some more in a minute. But keep hearing what's going on. So they're talking about all these things that have happened. While he himself, that is Jesus, drew near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to these two disciples, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. What do you hear just in that passage? Just pause for a minute. What's going on? What do you want to ask for clarity's sake? Just to understand what's going on. Not to correct, not to anything else. And what do we need to listen with? Our ears, obviously, but also our eyes. They're looking sad, right? Take that in. The emotions, the impact of what they're saying is having an impact right now while the story's being told. So Jesus has ended with a question. What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? Remember, they haven't recognized that it's Jesus, this man they've been following. They've been hindered from doing that. So this person, right, you're walking down the street with a friend, having a conversation. Something really significant has happened in your life, and the two of you are talking about it. Here comes this third person you don't recognize. He goes, "What are you talking about?" As you walk. And here they are looking sad. Going on to the next section. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" What do you hear there? Did I read it with the right tone? What do you hear in Cleopas's answer there? What tone did he actually say it with? You have that in your head? How do you feel when you hear that tone from someone else? Scary? It's okay. You can respond. Feel free to shout some answers out loud too. Yeah, you feel, yeah, exactly, put down. Like, hey, you the only one, right, who wants to be separated out like that? The only one who doesn't know what's going on? How do you feel like you want to respond to that? Defend? Do you want to justify? Do you want to prove how much you want to know? Most of us do often, right? We respond out of that. Love says we can go farther and we can care about what's going on in their lives. Not when we're not connected with God. That's why the Bible and prayer and obedience, fellowship all come first before sharing, but they actually go on together. We do this imperfectly, but in Christ, we can keep focused on the other person for long enough. But how does Jesus respond? I mean, he obviously knows, what's going on here. Of all people, he could set them straight. Jesus' response is this, and he said to them, what things? Wow. What an anticlimactic response out of Jesus, the ultimate teacher. Isn't that a little disappointing? What things? What's he do here? He asks another question. He keeps them talking. He goes, I recognize they need to process this. It's more important. And he's loving them. Loving them by understanding, helping them understand. And then they respond, and they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. I'm pretty sure that this is a summary of actually what they said there. What do you hear them telling about? What are they saying just in that sentence, part of a sentence, that phrase, about Jesus of Nazareth? What emotion do you hear in that short summary? You hear the adjectives? Prophet, mighty indeed. Mighty. There's no, he did a few things, kind of an illusionist. I didn't know how he did it, whatever. Mighty indeed in word. That's a powerful phrase that they're using there. This left us astonished constantly, basically, is that phrase. Before God and all the people. Like, he didn't just do this in private little groups. All over the place. This guy was amazing. Can you hear their emotion? But the next part, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. What emotions come out as they tell the next part of the story? Sad. Yeah. This is what they were feeling earlier on, right? Their whole countenance was sad. Very sad, deeply broken, and despair comes to mind. He goes on. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Put all their hope in that, and their hopes are dashed. What are people putting their hope in today? There's a lot of hopelessness. Do we hear? They hear the hopelessness. But because they're sharing something that we haven't put our hope in, or we don't currently have our hope in, can we hear from their perspective just how devastated someone is when they're telling a story? And then it goes on. And yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since all these things have happened. They've been down here, sad, depressed, despairing, for 3 days. All our hope, our dreams were set so high and utterly crushed, and we're still there. We're still there. It starts to get around to, right? What if Jesus hadn't said what things? If he didn't ask that other question to keep them talking, it would be unclear, it would be less clear what the source of their sadness was. Finally, now it's coming out here. Now how do we respond? Right? Now maybe we're not trying to defend ourselves or show how much we do know about what's going on. Is there a different response? Well, how does Jesus respond to that section? If we look in the next portion, we see what Jesus' response was. Oh, wait. It doesn't say Jesus said. Jesus was silent. That leaves most of us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Someone's just expressed how full of despair they are. We usually want to barge in there, right? Let's fix it. Let's do something there. Jesus understands there's more story to be untold or continue to be told here. And he's silent. He's still listening. That's amazing. Moreover, this guy continues, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. They were coming up to Easter. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Right? This is all about their interaction with Jesus, their hopes in him, their hopes dashed, crushed, crucified on an ugly cross. Now what do you hear? We got this little glimmer of hope here, but now we're just utterly confused, and we can put some other adjectives and hear what else is going on in their lives. Do we really, really hear people and what is going on in their lives? Do we let them go on a journey with us? Because we need it, right? Jesus had all understanding, and he still, for their good, took them on a journey. We arrogantly dive in and think, well, we got the answer for that part of it. We're ready to respond already. We need to step back and love by listening to understand. We stink at listening in North America. But in the church, we can get better at it. We can have our needs met by Jesus so that we're not so focused on ourselves. We don't respond out of weakness or out of defense or out of whatever else. And we can stop and listen. And together we can go on a journey. We can love people. It's the first part of sharing, loving them by understanding where they're at. I said several weeks ago, what Jesus does, it's not so much it's an that we need to imitate it. It's not about imitation. It's about incarnation. And he indwells us. We will not do this apart from Jesus helping us do this. We get caught up in ourselves, don't we? We respond in and of ourselves. But in Christ, him indwelling us as we are reading the Bible, praying, obeying, learning to walk with him, he meets our needs, and we don't need everybody around us to meet our needs. We can stop and listen to understand. I think it's amazing. Jesus asks, what things? Clarifies. He helps them keep talking. Jesus listened. He remained silent. Help them keep talking. Most people like talking about themselves to some degree when they have the space to do it and a safe ear to do that. Confidential people. I'm not going to go blab this and share this. Hey, have you heard the latest about? No, we don't share this. It's their story. We need to be safe ears. But love by listening and help them tell their story and their perspective and not need to disagree or disagree so early on. Just help clarify what the perspective is. Yes, at some point we have permission in that relationship to agree or disagree, but what's helpful in the moment? The first step of loving and sharing is understanding. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you are way more comfortable with journey than we are. With walking with someone for a time makes us uncomfortable. We want to respond at different points. Some of it good intentions. Some of it not. Some just protecting ourselves, but some really wanting to care for them. And yet, the journey is incomplete yet. And I pray you would give us an incredible ability to hear what you are doing in people's lives, God. And is a response helpful at this moment? Sometimes we just want to be right. Sometimes we want to be caring. And sometimes we're stepping in far too soon. And in this little narrative passage, Jesus, you ask short questions that keep people talking. And other times you simply remain silent and let them keep unpacking and telling where they're at. Would you help us love by learning to listen for understanding and not just about how we might reply? We want to do this for your glory and for the building of your kingdom. Amen.